Hey, welcome back once again to the Greatest Mixtape Podcast. My name is Eric.
And my name is Mac.
Mac.
Yes.
I'm very, very excited for this.
Me too, man. I love this topic. I love it. We're going to keep coming back to it.
Same, same. We've had a lot of guests as of late, which has been a great time. But we're going to kind of get back to our roots a little bit. It's just me and Mac tonight. And we're going to revisit a topic that we started a long time ago. And we said we'd be revisiting this.
Yep.
You want to tell them what it is, Mac?
This is volume 3, favorite cover songs.
This is always a fun one, man.
Endless content, man. You could do this every week and not get sick of it.
Since it's been a while, just a little refresher, Mac and I did not exchange any information before this. So when I go through my songs, Mac has never heard my list before. I have not heard his. The danger in that is hopefully we didn't pick the same songs. But with the millions of cover songs that are out there, I really doubt that that's going to be an issue.
Yeah, and we haven't done this format in a while where we kind of keep things from each other and try to surprise each other once we hit record. So, man, I'm looking forward to this.
Just to be clear, these are not in any particular order.
And here's the disclaimer we always give, right? We're not saying these are the best.
Right, right.
We're saying these are some of our favorites.
All right. Well, with all that said, should we just jump in?
Let's do it, man. Let's go.
All right, cool. Well, who wants to go first?
How about you jump in first? Blow my mind.
All right. Well, my first one tonight I'm going to talk about, it was actually when we decided to do this episode, revisit our favorite cover songs. This is the first one that popped into my head. Without giving any clues or anything, I'm just going to jump right in. It's the Revolting Cox and their cover of Rod Stewart's Do You Think I'm Sexy? It's genius, dude. It is. I know you know the song.
I do, and I love it.
It is fantastic, dude.
Oh, my God.
So if you're not familiar with the Revolting Cox, or Revco, as they are also sometimes referred to, they're an industrial supergroup started by Mr. Al Jorgensen of Ministry all the way back in 1985. It was a little side project for him. Their cover of Rod Stewart's Do You Think I'm Sexy is from their studio album called Linger Fickin' Good, which... Again, if you're not familiar with this band, everything is tongue-in-cheek. Everything is just everything. A play on words. It's innuendo. It's they're just a goofy, fun band.
That's really cool, man. I'm smiling because I haven't heard that song in a long time, and now it's in my head, and you put it there, and like, oh my God, that's such a great jam, dude.
It really, really is. It's just this grimy, sleazy, industrial take on, you know, an otherwise like slickly produced. I mean, the original is just so slick, and this is just grimy and raw. It's just giant drums, fuzzed out bass lines, distorted guitars and vocals, but it still retains that four on the floor disco beat that, you know, makes the song so catchy.
Yeah.
Again, as much as they've messed with it, it still has the essence of the original song. You're gonna recognize it. It's not like it's so weird and they completely rewrote the song.
Yeah, and to anybody out there, you know, lived through the '90s, was a music fan, and maybe you knew some Ministry songs. Al Jorgensen from Ministry, just check out everything he's ever done. So Revolting Cox is one of those projects, and it's just fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, Ministry is a pretty serious band, but behind the scenes, Al is a goofy dude, man. He's very, very funny, and he gets to show that side of himself on some of his side projects like Revco.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the video, do you remember the video, Mac?
I don't.
It is absolutely genius. Well, it might not be super PC by 2025 standards. The early '90s was a different time. We're going to preface it by that.
Yeah.
But it's absolutely hysterical. There's zombie demon strippers. There's the devil. There's machine guns. There's even a cameo from Scott Ian of Anthrax firing a machine gun. It's brilliant. It's just so good. And it's so early '90s, man. The visuals are just outstanding. Very, very funny. So if you like bands like Ministry, Nine Inch Nails, KMFDM, but maybe with a little Molary and Curly thrown in, check out the Revolting Cox. You won't be disappointed.
You will not be disappointed. Awesome, dude. Fantastic pick right out of the gate.
Thank you, man. Yeah. I love that song.
All right. I got a few here with me tonight that are covers of pop songs.
Okay, I love it.
Okay, and I'm coming out of the gate with one of my favorites, obviously. That's what we're talking about. And it's Smooth Criminal by Alien Ant Farm. Annie, you okay? You okay? You okay? You okay? You okay? You okay?
That is such an amazing song.
Dude, I love that version of that song, man. I mean, obviously, everyone loves the Michael Jackson version from Michael Jackson's 1987 album, Bad. But Alien Ant Farm, they put that out in 2001, their album Anthology. And it kind of started out with just the band playing a few riffs, you know, of the song while warming up before gigs. You know, fans got wind of it, liked it, started requesting it. And it kind of just turned into the cover.
That's fantastic.
It's just, it's so fun.
It is.
Like every good cover of a pop song by a rock band, right? It's all about the guitar riff.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, how it can be kind of, you know, incorporated into the song and give it some little bit of power while still staying true to the original, either, you know, the sound or the melody. And that's what that song does, that version of that song does.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so great, so fun. The song actually hit number one on the Billboard Modern Rock chart. And I love the video, too. The video for the song is just so much fun. There's so many Michael Jackson references in the video.
Yeah.
You know, there's, you know, the kid dancing wearing the mask.
Yep. And that kid has Michael Jackson's moves down too, by the way. That kid is fantastic.
Exactly. The kid's great.
That kid's probably like 45 now.
You know, the drummer is playing with one white glove.
Yeah.
They're mimicking MJ's choreography. You know, the singer at one party is sitting down, you know, with a chimp on his lap.
I forgot about that. That's right.
Yeah, the sidewalk lights up like bubbles. The Billie Jean video when they're dancing on the sidewalk and shit. Yeah. It's just great, man. It's just such a fun song.
Yeah.
Great version. So high energy. And just every time it comes on, it just puts a smile on my face, man. I love it.
Yeah, it's a great, great cover.
Yeah, man.
Well, my next pick isn't exactly a cover of a pop song, but it is a classic.
Ooh, yeah. Let's hear it.
But my next one is, it's one of my all-time favorite bands. I've talked about them on the show before, but King's X, a little trio from Houston, Texas, they do an amazing cover of Jimi Hendrix's Manic Depression. It was originally released by Jimi Hendrix Experience in 1967 on their debut album, Are You Experienced? King's X version is from their 1994 album, Dogman. Recently, we did a bonus track where we talked about some, you know, bands that we felt were underrated.
Yeah.
It wasn't a long list. It was just a short little episode. We rattled off a few bands that we felt, you know, were underrated. And I got to give a shout out to my man, John from Vernon, Connecticut, who hit us up and said, you know, where's King's X? They need to be on that list, man. So, John, here you go. He's 1,000% correct. They are one of the most underrated bands you will ever hear in your life. If you've even heard of them. You know, I've said this before, too. They're the best band you've never heard of.
Yeah.
I could go on and on about the band forever because I absolutely love them that much. But getting back to the cover for a second, this is one of those instances, and I realize this is a very bold statement, but to me, in my world, the cover's better than the original.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that's saying a lot. I know I'm going to get some heat from diehard Hendrix fans. And I love Jimi Hendrix. Don't take that the wrong fucking way, okay? I love Jimi Hendrix. The original is amazing. But there's just something about their cover song. I mean, Doug Pinnick, the lead singer slash bass player, I mean, he's a better singer than Jimi Hendrix. That's not even debatable. Nothing against Hendrix, but he just has such a powerful, soulful voice. And his bass tone as well. Cover anything with that bass tone, and it's just going to sound amazing. He has one of the biggest bass tones I've ever heard. And it's one of those situations as well where it's the right song for the right band.
Yeah.
You know, if King's X only in their entire career did one cover song, this would be the perfect choice for them.
And I know you talk about them a lot. It was just the two of us when we're talking, not when we're recording.
Sure,
always talking about King's X.
Yeah, love them.
And that's definitely a band I need to dig into more. I mean, I know, you know, like I'm kind of like on the surface. I know some King's X.
Yeah.
But I need to dig into them more.
You really do.
Yeah.
You will absolutely love them. And live, I mean, they've been around for a really long time and they're getting up there. So I don't know how many more tours they got in them. But if you get a chance to see them live, I just saw them last year, just still... Oh my God. One of the, and again, for three guys to be on stage making that much noise, man, it's mind blowing. They're just so goddamn good.
I mean, and if anything, if you know the slightest bit about King's X, right, you might know the song Black Flag.
Oh yeah.
right? I mean, so yeah. if you remember that song and you dug that, you know, when mm-hmm. that was around, then dig into them a little bit more like I need to do.
Yeah, 1,000%. I will, you know what? I will even put a King's X playlist together for you too.
Oh, sweet. I would love that, dude. But I'll be listening to that cover once we finish recording tonight.
Oh, it's fantastic. You're going to love it.
I love it when you turn me on to new shit, dude.
Me too. Well, that's what's so fun about these episodes, man. You do the same for me. There's been some stuff that I was like, wow, I've never heard that before. And now I absolutely love the song. So,
all right, here we're going to go with my next pick is by the White Stripes.
Sweet.
It's their version of I Just Don't Know What to Do With Myself.
I just don't know what to do with myself. I don't know what to do with myself. Nothing, everything for two. Doing everything with you. And now
I didn't realize this at the time, but that's actually a cover of a Dusty Springfield song.
No shit.
From 1964.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Originally lyrics written by, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Burt Bacharach.
Oh my God, that's great.
But yeah, Dusty's version is, you know, slow and sort of dreamy with a string arrangement. Very elegant song.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, the White Stripes redid it for their 2003 album, Elephant. But as it turns out, I dug into this a little bit more, and even Dusty's version was a cover.
No kidding.
It had originally been recorded by two different artists before her, Chuck Jackson and Tommy Hunt. But Dusty's version just happened to be the one to break through and hit number 3 on the UK charts. So that's the version that became well known.
That's wild, man. It's a cover of a cover of a cover.
Yeah. And Dusty Springfield, of course, everyone knows, Son of a Preacher Man.
Sure.
But just a beautiful voice. But then to hear the other artists have covered the song as well over the years. Dionne Warwick, Linda Ronstadt, Elvis Costello.
No shit.
Yeah, but the White Stripes version really just, I just love that song to death. It's so good because of that guitar sound, Jack White's guitar. It goes from sort of like that soft and dreamy, almost like a picking sound, to just loud and distorted.
Love it.
And it's so cool, and it becomes so heavy, and then it lightens up again. And of course, great lyrics. You know, it's just another great song to listen to as you sit around, you know, sort of pondering life.
Yeah.
I just don't know what to do with myself. But yeah, I love that version. I just think what the White Stripes did to that song just gave it so much power and just made it kick ass. I just love it.
Now I got to go back and listen. See, this is what we do.
Yeah.
I'm going to be up till 2 in the morning and listening to stuff when I should be sleeping. But
you know, it's fun when you dig deep into some of this stuff and you, wait a minute, Burt Bacharach wrote the lyrics to that song?
What? Yeah. Yeah, that's wild.
And it's, you know, and you think too, like in 2003, you know, when that song came out from the White Stripes and, you know, the video, Kate Moss is basically just dancing around in her underwear the whole length of the video. And, you know, you never once thought, oh, that's clearly a Burt Bacharach song.
Right.
Like it never. You know.
Yeah, that wouldn't exactly cross your mind when you're listening to that.
Yeah. But yeah, that I just don't know what to do with myself. That is a cover and one that I love.
Well, again, I got my homework.
All right.
All right. My next pick is going to be the newest song on my list. And you've definitely heard me yammering on and on about this artist as well. But currently my newest musical obsession, I'm talking about Kim Dracula. I just can't get enough of their music. And Mac, I turned you on to this one. I remember distinctly. They do an amazing cover of Iris by the Goo Goo Dolls.
Yes.
And not give up. I know that you feel me somehow. You're the closest to heaven that I'll ever be. And I don't want to go home right now. And all I can take.
Which is fantastic because we're both big Goo Goo Dolls fans.
Yeah, yeah.
And Kim just does an absolutely amazing cover of that. Yeah, again, if you haven't heard me blabbering on and on about Kim Dracula, they're an Australian-born musician, singer, songwriter, rapper, producer. They do literally everything. They became famous for doing cover songs of pop songs on TikTok in a very distinct vocal styling. Kim has just an amazing voice in a 6.5 octave range. So, I mean,
crazy.
Just unbelievable, unbelievable. Their biggest hit, the thing that really put them on the map was their cover of Lady Gaga's Paparazzi.
Yeah.
And at the time of this recording, has over 162 million streams on Spotify. Can you believe that?
No shit.
And Kim's original music, too, is just absolutely nuts. They dropped a full-length album in 2023, and it's called A Gradual Decline in Morale. Check it out. It's just bonkers mix of music. It's metal, it's rock, it's funk, it's bossa nova. There's Elvis impressions on the record. I mean, it's just bananas. Their version of Iris, it's a much darker version, dare I say, of the original. Yeah. Stripped down, very industrial kind of vibe. If you think like Nine Inch Nails Hurt, it's kind of in that vein, yep. But with this over the top, just desperate vocal delivery that again showcases what an insane range Kim has. And yeah, I remember the first time hearing it for myself. I was checking out the album on Spotify and I see this track. It's the second to the last track. The last track is actually like a little skit type of thing to close out the album. So the second to last track, it's Iris. And knowing Kim's history, I'm like, it's got to be the Goo Goo Dolls. It's got to be. You know what I mean? So, I mean, yeah. I immediately skip past everything and I go to that. And I was just like, holy shit, what the fuck did I just listen to? I mean, it's nuts. It's so, so good.
I think when you sent that song to me,
yeah,
I had the same reaction. What the fuck did I just listen to?
it's truly amazing. Yeah. And then you go and listen to this chaotic music that they put out and it's just mind-blowing stuff. So
yeah.
It's not everybody's cup of tea. I understand right. that. But if you're, you know, if you dig like a Mr. Bungle, you know, or Faith No More, those kind of bands, you know, sprinkle in a little Korn maybe or Tech N9ne, they're just super talented.
No, all right. When you first introduced me to Kim Dracula, I remember going looking and you know, watching the videos and going, whoa, this is, it's like an art experiment.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's almost like you're going to a gallery to watch some artist just do whatever the hell they want.
Yeah.
And you're just along for the ride. And you're just going to go, whoa.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm either down with it or I'm not. But this is interesting. No matter what, it's going to be visually, sonically interesting.
Yeah. And there's a lot of social commentary in the lyrics. Like if you really dig deep too, I mean, there's a lot going on there.
But I mean, again, just the cover of Goo Goo Dolls song is...
I mean, you can't go wrong,
legendary.
Right?
Just come
on. Absolutely, man.
Okay, now let me preface this next pick by saying that I'm not a big death metal guy.
Ooh, my interest is peaked.
Okay, I mean, I respect the hell out of the musicianship.
Sure.
But, you know, the vocals, the lyrical content, have never really been my thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, subject matter is pretty dark and graphic, and, you know, shit gives me nightmares.
Yeah, yeah. it can be heavy, yeah.
But this cover always just... puts a smile on my face.
I just my seat, dude. I'm dying over here.
It takes a great classic rock song and just gives it even more of an edge. And it's TNT by 6 Feet Under.
Oh my God. I did not see that coming, dude.
Dude, I love that cover.
It's really good.
It's a death metal version of the iconic AC/DC song TNT from 6 Feet Under's 2000 covers album, Graveyard Classics. I mean, it's a full covers album. I mean, on that album, they cover Sweet Leaf by Black Sabbath, Stepping Stone by the Monkees.
Wow.
Purple Haze by Jimi Hendrix. But there's something about, I mean, I obviously am a monster AC/DC fan.
Yeah.
Love the song TNT. Nothing's ever going to be better than that. But this version is so much fun. It's so heavy. And yes, it's got the death metal growl vocals,
yeah,
you know, sure, singing AC/DC, which just makes it more insane and more fun. You know, I can't fully explain why I like it so much. I just know that I do. And there's this great live performance video of the song on YouTube when they're playing like at a festival in Europe or some shit. And the crowd just goes bananas. And it's so great to watch. It's just so heavy and gnarly. I don't know, man.
That's so cool, man. I didn't realize, because I've heard that version, I didn't realize they did an entire album of covers. Now I got to go back and find it, dude. That's crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. And 6 Feet Under vocalist Chris Barnes, also the original singer in another legendary death metal band called Cannibal Corpse.
Yeah, might
have heard of it. For those of you familiar with the genre. But again, you know, if you only listen to one death metal song your entire life, make it TNT by 6 Feet Under. It's incredible.
That could be your gateway drug into death metal too. You know what I mean? Like maybe.
it might be.
Yeah, maybe you're like, wow, I really like this. And you never knew you did.
I think my first like introduction to death metal may have been that scene in Ace Ventura.
Oh my God, yeah.
He goes into the bar and I think it was Cannibal Corpse that was in the scene.
such a great scene.
Ace Ventura was, because I guess Jim Carrey was a fan.
Yeah,
you know, and he wanted the guy, he wanted them in the movie.
That's so good.
Yeah, but check out the live performance on YouTube of 6 Feet Under doing TNT. Trust me,
you're gonna love it. Nice. Well, I can't wait to do that. All right. Well, my next one is not death metal, but
okay.
But it is one that everybody should be familiar with. And for me personally, no secrets here, huge David Bowie fan. And so whenever anybody wants to cover a David Bowie song, I'm always, you know, it's like covering the Beatles or something. You're just like, do you really want to do that? Are you sure? But Nirvana doing The Man Who Sold the World is absolutely just amazing. It is such a great cover.
Yeah. Spoken walls and well, although I wasn't there, I said I was his friend, which came as a surprise. I spoke into his eyes, I thought you died alone.
David Bowie's version came out in 1970. It's the title track of his third studio album. Nirvana's version came out a little later on. It was included on their 1994 recording for MTV's Unplugged, which at that time was one of the, I mean, it was probably the best Unplugged since LL Cool J, which was an amazing performance too. But they just did it their way. They just did it a little bit different, and it's absolutely fantastic. Mac, I'm coming with the first fun fact of the night. Are you ready for this?
Hit me.
All right. David Bowie's version, as popular as the song is today, was never actually released as a single.
What?
It was just a track on the album. It was a B-side to a couple of releases, but it was never released as a standalone single, whereas Nirvana's version was, and it went on to reach number 6 in the U.S. Billboard Alternative Airplay chart and number 12 on the U.S. Billboard Mainstream Rock charts. So it never charted for Bowie, but it sure did for Nirvana.
That's interesting. Cool? Wow, holy
shit. Because it's such a popular song, you just assume, you know, it was a big hit for him, but nope, just an album track.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy, dude.
And we were talking about how, Nirvana really took the concept of the Unplugged performance and did it themselves. There was a quote from Dave Grohl some years ago where he said, we'd seen other Unplugs and we didn't like many of them because most bands would treat them like a rock show playing their hits like it was Madison Square Garden, except with acoustic guitars. So when they went in, again, doing it their way, they did some of their hits, like Come As You Are, About a Girl, Something in the Way, but heavily leaned into cover songs, just songs that they loved by bands like The Vaseline's, Meat Puppets, and of course, you know, David Bowie. Kurt even said at one point that the album, The Man Who Sold the World from David Bowie, was one of his top 50 records of all time. I mean, it tells you what a fan he was. So the sad part of this story is that the album was released on November 1st, 1994. It was about 7 months after Kurt Cobain committed suicide. So he never got to see, the reaction that his fans and the public had, because that album is just, it's so, so good.
So good.
They were just one of those bands that stripped down acoustic just lent itself so well to their songwriting style. And, it didn't lose anything taking the amplification out of it. You know what I mean?
And what's great about watching that performance is, because Dave Grohl, we've talked about him before, and he plays the drums.
Yeah.
I mean, he beats the shit out of his
drums. He sure does.
And watching him in that Unplugged recording, and he's just trying so hard not to.
Yeah, it's an amazing performance. And I know Nirvana is still hugely popular today, and, their music still resonates with fans of any age. But, we remember that time very well. We grew up around a time where, we were already into music. We were, dare I say, adults at that point. And to see the whole grunge movement, explode the way it did. One of the coolest things for me about that whole movement was, although it single-handedly killed a lot of the bands that we grew up loving, the hair metal scene was dead after that. Dead. I mean, but it gave, DOA. Oh yeah, totally. But it gave young kids that were, starting out playing music and maybe didn't look like Bret Michaels or Vince Neil. They weren't pretty. They weren't skinny. They weren't whatever. It gave them a sense of empowerment that, you know, they could do this too. Yep. They can make music, connect with an audience, you know, without all the pomp and circumstance of, you know, this big rock star thing that they just didn't think they were a part of, man. Grunge lowered the bar. Yep. I don't mean musically. I just mean it was more accepting of people. You didn't right. have to be pretty. You didn't have to be skinny. Hell, there was guys with receding hairlines in their 20s playing grunge. It didn't matter. It was all about the music. And I still love that aspect of it.
It was just like the original punk movement. It stripped everything down.
Absolutely.
You know, that's what grunge did too. It just brought everything right back to where, you know, down to the basics.
Yep.
That cover is I'm happy you added that one in, because that's always been one of my favorites.
Mine too. And again, you know how I feel about David Bowie. So, you know, when somebody covers Bowie, you better bring it. And Nirvana certainly did, man. It's such a great version.
Okay. I'm going to go now to a cover of a song from The Faces in 1973.
Whoa.
1973 song called Ooh La La, originally done by The Faces with Ronnie Wood on vocals.
Oh, wow.
Not Rod Stewart. The version that I'm talking about is by Tim Timebomb and Friends. Which, among others, includes Tim Armstrong from Rancid and Travis Barker from Blink 182 on drums.
What a pairing, man.
Oh my God, it's just a sort of punk ska cover of that classic Faces tune. It was released in 2013 on the album Winding Far Down. But I love what Tim Armstrong did to the song, which was already one of the greatest rock songs ever recorded. But giving it that ska bounce just made it hit so much harder for me. I love the original, but the Tim Timebomb version just, to me, elevated that song.
Yeah.
And I know that may not be a popular opinion because it's such an iconic song. But I love all things Tim Armstrong, Rancid, Operation Ivy,
you know,
love all that shit. And just those timeless lyrics of the song. You know, I wish that I knew what I know now when I was younger. And you hear it just presented a different way.
Yeah.
Again, with that different style. We did an episode on, you know, Sunday morning music. It's a great Sunday morning song.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, this version, I find myself sort of bouncing around the house a little bit to the song. You know, some low level, you know, skanking, if you will. But it's a perfect song if you don't know what skanking is.
Right.
Look it up.
Yeah, Google it.
It's a punk rock thing.
Yep.
But yeah, I love it, the way it's put together. And, you know, and Tim Armstrong is not the greatest singer in the world. You know, everybody recognizes that.
Don't have to be.
Don't have to be. It's a punk rock thing, man. And just you add in that beautiful ska bounce to it, and it's perfect, man. It's a great cover.
That's a really good one. Yeah, that's a lot of fun. That's one of those songs, too. You know, I defy you to put that on and not bob your head to it. Mm-hmm. It's infectious. You know, everything he does is in that vein. You know what I mean? It's just it's just good, fun music.
Exactly. It's just fun.
Yeah, and that's definitely one of those Sunday morning type things. I absolutely agree, man.
Yeah.
Nice. Am I on my last one already?
You are.
Man, this is flying by. Well, I saved this one for last, Mac, because I don't think you see this one coming, and I know you're a fan of the original, so I saved this one for last.
Okay.
And it is Duran Duran and their cover of Lou Reed's Perfect Day.
Oh, my goodness.
Just a perfect day. Drink sangria in the park. Then later, it gets dark, we go home. Just a perfect day.
I know you're a big Lou Reed fan, Velvet Underground, of course. So I saved this one for last. If you are not familiar, Duran Duran, back in 1995, they did a covers album called Thank You. Some of the songs on the album are, you know, Led Zeppelin's Thank You, the title track. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Lou Reed's Perfect Day. Like I said, Iggy Pop, Success. They do a cover of 911 as a Joke by Public Enemy.
What?
Picture Duran Duran singing 911 as a joke,
God.
Dude. It's wild. Sly and the Family Stone, I Want to Take You Higher. Bob Dylan, Lay Lady Lay. It's just packed with hits. And of course, doing something, taking that big of a risk in the music world, the critics hated it.
Right.
They just shit all over it when it came out. As a matter of fact, Q Magazine in 2006 declared that the album is the worst album of all time. There's a lot of shit music out there. So for a magazine to call one of your records the worst of all time, yeah.
That's harsh.
But yeah, that is harsh. But, you know, fans like me, man, I found the album to be a lot of fun. And I give them a lot of credit. Some of the choices may have been a bit questionable. Again, 911 is a joke, is a bit of a reach. But yep. But I appreciate the risk taking. And it's just fun to see a band like that put their influences out on display.
Yeah.
You know, Zeppelin to Public Enemy. I mean, it's crazy.
And that's what's kind of the fun part, again, about covers. You see artists taking chances.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where they may not take with their own music, whereas, you know, with a cover song, hey, they might take that leap.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. What the hell you got to lose?
Right. I mean,
Q Magazine may call your album shit, but whatever. Who cares? One of the other things I love about this song too, Mac, is the lyrics. They've been scrutinized for years, as most of Lou Reed's lyrics are. I mean, he's very, very poetic. I love his lyrics. I'm not the biggest fan of his singing voice, which is why I've never been the biggest Lou Reed fan. Mad respect, but his voice is one of those, like, you either love it or you don't. You know what I mean?
Right.
But I've always, he's very much like Bob Dylan for me in that same respect. Love the lyrics, love the songs. Not something I want to listen to every day, but mad respect. But the lyrics, yeah, like I said, they've been scrutinized for years. A lot of people think it's a thinly veiled reference to Reed's heroin addiction from back in the day, as though he's actually singing to the drug, like, this is a perfect day because I'm high. Others attribute it to his struggle with his sexuality. There was a lot of, you know, that going on in his lyrics back in the day. But Lou Reed himself has said the song is literally about a perfect day in the park with his fiance. It's nothing deeper than that. It's just literally, it was a perfect day. He wrote a song about it. I think that's kind of cool.
But can we believe Lou?
That's a good point. That's a good point. Who the hell knows?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. And as kind of a middle finger to Q Magazine, Lou Reed actually said that the Duran Duran version of Perfect Day was, and I quote, the best cover ever completed of one of my own songs.
Wow.
So that's a pretty good endorsement.
And he's notoriously cranky. He was, you know, not the nicest guy when it came to stuff like that. That's high praise.
Yeah, apparently he loved it.
Wow.
Wild stuff. But check out that record, man. It's there's some crazy shit on there.
You know what? And now that you mention it, I remember it coming out and I remember not giving it a second thought. Like, and I remember it just bombing.
Yeah. Again, critics just panned it.
Yeah. But now, a little bit older, a little bit more mature. Okay. Maybe just a tiny bit more mature.
Maybe. Not much.
Not much. Marginal. But
more accepting anyway of different music.
Now I want to go back and I'm going to listen to the whole thing.
There's some good stuff on there, man. I swear.
Yeah. And there might be some misses, but okay, whatever. They're taking chances, you know.
Exactly.
And they were always a great band anyways. Great musicians, great songwriters.
Fantastic
musicians. Wrote a ton of hits. Like, it'd be interesting to go back and check all that out now.
Yeah. Like, monster musicians, man. They're just, they're one of those bands that, from a musicianship standpoint, probably very underrated as well.
All right. I got my last pick here.
I'm psyched, man.
And I'm going with Got the Time by Anthrax. Such a great cover.
Close to my heart, man. So good. Wake up, got another day to get through now. Got another man to see. Got a call on the telephone. Well, got a time for some paper. Sit down, got another letter to write. Think hard, got a good letter to write. Could have been on the telephone. Why not? Got another letter. No such thing as tomorrow. It's a cover of a Joe Jackson song
from 1979, his album Look Sharp, which, if you remember Joe Jackson, that album had the hit single Is She Really Going Out With Him?
Ah, such a good tune.
Yep. And then Joe Jackson was also well known for his other big hit in 1982, Steppin' Out, which is kind of a fun, like, new wave kind of post-punk track. But the Anthrax version of Got the Time, to me, is just, it's wonderful. It's almost a perfect cover.
Yeah.
It was on their 1990 album, Persistence of Time, and features the classic Anthrax lineup. Joey Belladonna on vocals, Scott Ian and Danny Spitz on guitar, Frank Bello on bass, and Charlie Benante on drums. But it's just a thrashed up version with all things working perfectly. You know, the Frank Bello's bass line. Oh my God. You know, the guitar riffs, Joey's vocals, and Scott Ian's vocals as well.
Yeah.
You know, 2 or 3, go. But it's just another example of a pop song just given a huge energy burst with some just great hard rock metal, you know, guitars.
Yeah.
And the song itself, again, I've used this word a lot today. It's just fun. It's just a great song to listen to and sing along to. And it turns out that Joe Jackson actually didn't like the Anthrax version of his song.
No kidding.
He thought it was clumsy and slow.
Wow.
Like, he thought it was slower than the original. Like, he was kind of like mocking Anthrax. Like, you're supposed to be a speed metal band.
Oh, I get it. Okay.
And it's not, it's slow.
It's slow. Which, they should have made it even faster, I guess. It's pretty quick.
Anthrax has done some great covers over the years, and they've done a lot of different things with their music, you know, but Got the Time is the perfect cover song. I love it.
Yeah, I'm a big fan as well. I love that album. That whole album from start to finish is fantastic. Another thing I love about cover songs is, again, at that time when that came out, I couldn't have cared less about Joe Jackson.
Right.
Didn't give a shit. That was not anything remotely interesting to me. I was a metal kid, and that was it, man. I didn't want to hear, you know, this 80s pop stuff or anything like that. But when an artist that you admire and love like that puts their stamp of approval on it and says, no, man, fucking Joe Jackson's cool. Oh,
yeah.
Okay, maybe I can dig some of this stuff. And, you know, it turns you on to music you might not have listened to. I mean, I said before, the whole reason I'm a Misfits fan is because Cliff Burton and Metallica had the Crimson Ghost skull on his arm. And I was like, well, he's a fan of that punk band. Well, maybe they're good.
Right.
And that's how I became, you know, a insane fan of the Misfits. So I think, again, that's another power of the cover song.
Yeah.
You know, you can turn people on to other shit, you know?
I remember, you know, when Anthrax released that version of Got the Time and got immediately turned onto the song, just fell in love with it. And then, you know, you're listening to it for a few months, and then someone says, you know, that's a cover song, right? Huh?
Yeah.
And, like, Joe Jackson. Wait, the Steppin' Out guy?
You shitting me?
Like, that's his song?
Yeah.
But like you said, then it opens your mind up to
going
and listening back to that artist and realizing this is pretty good, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? If Anthrax thinks it's cool, I mean,
they're
cooler than me. It must be cool. I mean, same with their cover of Antisocial. I had no idea that was a cover song for years.
Right.
Yeah, man. That's a great, great pick, man. I'm glad you saved that one for last too. God, I love that. Oh, it's
so
good. Great.
Man. That's so good.
That's way up there on my list of favorite covers, man. That's such a great one.
Right on.
There's our five each in no particular order. Like we said, we're not saying these are the greatest of all time. These are just some that we really love. And again, we're going to keep coming back. You know, we're going to revisit this topic over and over again. And hopefully turn, you know, you on, the listener, to some stuff maybe you weren't familiar with or some artists you weren't familiar with. And that's the whole goal with this.
And we've said it before, but, you know, we love comments. You know, if you know of a cover song that maybe we don't.
Oh, yeah.
Let us know. Let us turn us on to something, please.
Yeah, make suggestions. We absolutely love that stuff. And we'll definitely shout you out because it makes our job easier. Mac.
Oh.
Do you know what's about to happen, my friend?
Shit.
This has been a long, long time coming. We said before we hit record on this, and I didn't even realize it's been this long. You said it's been how long?
It's been a year and a half since I tortured you with the very first ride, the lightning round.
A year and a half, dude. Yeah. It doesn't seem like that much time has gone by.
And I've had this looming over my head. Like, I know it's coming. I know you're going to get me back.
Yeah.
And I feel it's tonight.
It 1,000% is tonight. I've had a year and a half to put this together, too. It's gone through many, many revisions. And again, we've been friends for so long. I know there's at least a few in here that are going to give you a little bit of stress. Hopefully more than I think. But yeah, man, I'm going to do my best and we'll see how it goes.
Eric had the courage to be the very first contestant on the Ride the Lightning Round. It's become kind of a thing every time we have somebody on. And damn it, now it's my turn.
I still have nightmares about Eddie Van Halen or Stevie Ray Vaughan, dude. That one to this day still just fucks with my head, man.
Brutal.
Well, all right, my friend, now it is your turn. Are you ready?
Okay. All right, let's do it.
All right. And for those of you listening that may not be familiar with the Ride of Lightning round, I am going to rapid fire 10 this or that. There may be a bonus. There may be 11. This or that scenarios. And Mac has to pick, you know, the whole idea is to pick quickly this or that. And we'll see how it goes. You can defend. We can go back at the end. You can mm-hmm. defend, explain anything like that. But that's what the Ride of Lightning round consists of. So here we go. Right out of the gate, Mac.
Yep.
Tragically Hip or the Goo Goo Dolls?
Oh, Jesus Christ. okay, the gloves are off. Okay. Tragically Hip.
All right. More underrated band, Faster Pussycat or LA Guns?
LA Guns.
Okay. More overrated band, Whitesnake or Bon Jovi?
Bon Jovi.
Better rock star name, Izzy Stradlin or Slash? They're both fantastic names.
Izzy Stradlin.
All right. Better fictitious band, the Blues Brothers or Spinal Tap?
Oh, shit.
You love them both.
Oh, fuck.
shit. You're sweating, dude. I can see it building up on your forehead.
Oh, my God. My blood pressure is through the roof. Spinal Tap.
Okay. Pointer Sisters or Sly and the Family Stone?
Oh, Jesus Christ. You know I love the Pointer Sisters, man.
I know you do, man. And you love Sly.
I love Sly. Oh. Neutron Dance. shit, Sly and the Family Stone.
Okay. Creedence or Bob Seger?
Seger.
Appetite for Destruction or Shout at the Devil?
Appetite.
Okay. This is a bit of an obscure one, but I'm gonna try it anyway.
Okay.
Best TV appearance, Anthrax on Married with Children or the Ramones on The Simpsons?
Oh boy.
Hopefully you remember both of them.
Yeah. I'm gonna
They're both fantastic.
I'm going to go with Anthrax on Married with Children.
Okay. Ice Cube or Dr. Dre?
Oh, Jesus. You mother. Cube.
Okay. Digital Underground or Tribe Called Quest?
Oh, my goodness. That was the sound of my head banging on the microphone for everybody out there listening. God damn it. Tribe Called Quest.
Okay. And then your bonus, since this is a covers episode, Megadeth's No More Mr. Nice Guy or Metallica's Turn the Page?
Oh, man. That's rough. That's rough. I'm going to have to go with Metallica because it's a cover of a Bob Seger song.
I thought you might. That's
going to put them over the edge. I love that Megadeth cover.
Oh, it's so good.
It's so good. It was from a movie too, wasn't it?
It was. It was from Shocker. Remember that?
Yeah.
Great movie.
I'll have to go with Metallica on that one.
All right. Well, there you go, my friend. Not bad.
God.
Good job. And actually, for those of you counting at home, that was actually 12. I didn't want to tell Mac.
Oh, you fucker.
I snuck an extra one in there. I wasn't sure, honestly, if the Anthrax and Ramones one was going to work.
Yep.
So I had a couple on standby. I just figured I was going to shoot them all at you. Fuck it.
Ooh, yeah, I mean, the Anthrax, to me, that appearance was more memorable.
Oh, it was so fantastic. Yeah. 1992, Anthrax made an appearance on Married with Children. Bud, if you remember, wins a contest to have dinner with Anthrax. They come to your house and they'll play in your living room. And of course, nobody shows up. So it's literally Bud and Kelly hanging out with Anthrax and they're bored out of their freaking skulls. They're starving and there's no food because it's the Bundy's house.
Yep.
They find a foil packet in the fridge that has something resembling food in it. So they eat it and they all start hallucinating and freaking out and they start playing In My World and smashing the shit out of everything. They're breaking chairs and lamps and everything like that. Just a hysterical appearance by them. And then the Ramones on The Simpsons 1993, they performed at Mr. Burns' birthday party and yeah. sang a punk version of Happy Birthday to Mr. Burns. Also, and it was the real Ramones too. It wasn't somebody doing the voices. It was actually the Ramones. So,
okay, I got to go back here on a couple.
Do you need a reminder? I can.
Digital Underground and Tribe Called Quest.
Yeah.
Now that might be confusing to some people because obviously Tribe Called Quest had a much bigger catalog and were
way more hits,
way more influential. And
but why did it cause you so much trouble, Mac?
Because we have this mutual love.
Yes.
For the Digital Underground, specifically the Humpty Dance.
Yes.
It's perhaps the greatest party track of all time.
It might be. It might be.
So not picking them hurt. Like it,
yeah.
I'm feeling physical pain right now.
And you did. You played it how I thought you might. You went with Tribe. Again, bigger catalog, more hits. Mm-hmm. But I knew just because of our mutual love for the Humpty Dance, I knew that was going to be hard for you, man.
That was brutal. Other one that was brutal was the Pointer Sisters or Sly Stone.
Again, I knew you loved them both, man.
Oh, my God. That was tough. I had to go against my girls, the Pointer Sisters.
Hey, you got to pick one. I mean, that's the game.
Oh, what was the word my sister used? Oh, lament.
Lament. Like
I'm just full of lament right now.
Lament. It's a good word.
Right out of the gate, the Goo Goo Dolls are Tragically Hip. That's rough.
Yeah, I knew that was going to hurt too.
I had to go with the hip on that one. Oh, Ice Cube or Dre was brutal. That's all.
Yeah, I figured that would hurt too.
Yeah, that hurts. But I had to go with Cube.
I'm with you on that. Dre, the argument could be made that he's more impactful for hip hop overall.
Yep.
You know, he's worked with so many artists. He's an amazing producer, you know, let alone his solo rap career. I mean, he's produced a million hits for other artists. But Cube, just as an MC alone, dude, just brutal. He's just one of the best ever. And no Vaseline.
Oh.
That alone. I think gives him the title.
Here, it makes me want to do one thing here. Hang on. I'm going to back off the mic just for a second.
Okay, go for
it. Yay.
That's going to be our new soundbite. I'm going to sample that and just fire it into episode. Yay, yay.
Of course, my nice. Voice cracked a little bit when I tried that.
It's all right. It's all good. Well, nice job, dude. I will say I'm not one to pat myself on the back, but I'm pretty proud of that list, man. I think most everyone caused you at least a little bit of pause.
Yeah, I'm hurting. That was so fantastic job, sir.
Thank you, man. Thank you. Yes, that was fun. Again, I had a year and a half to prepare, so I mean, it better be fucking good.
Oh my God! All right, I gotta here. Let me forehead off, and then
yeah. Do you need a minute?
I gotta compose myself here and get to the shout outs. Okay, Eric, you ready for some shout outs? We got some
absolutely
new and returning listeners we want to shout out here. How about this? I got some international stuff to start off with.
Always my favorite.
Oh, Kumasi, Ghana.
Nice.
Yeah.
Wow.
Gatineau in Quebec, Canada.
Awesome.
Kinshasa in the Democratic Republic of the Congo.
Wow, dude.
Dude.
These are great.
Cairo, Egypt.
Oh, shit.
Kirkcaldy in the UK. Ridderkerk in the Netherlands. A town called Douglas on the Isle of Man.
Wow.
Yeah, dude. That's in the Irish Sea for those of you keeping score at home.
That would be me.
And then back here in the United States of America, how about Round Rock, Texas, Phoenix, Arizona, Orlando, Florida, Carruthers, California, Houston, Texas, Roanoke, Virginia, Pontiac, Michigan, Fergus Falls, Minnesota, Eugene, Oregon. Here's more again. I have to drop a Wu-Tang reference every time. And Chicago, Illinois. But I also want to shout out two bands that have reached out to us to share some new music, which we dig so much. So the first band, they're called the Adam Music Project. And they're pretty unique. Their songs are inspired by like classic video games and gaming culture.
That's wild.
Kind of guitar riff driven hard rock.
Uh-huh.
They got a song called Punch Out that actually hit number 37 on the Billboard mainstream rock chart recently. So
nice.
Adam Music Project. Be sure to check them out.
Perhaps the highest charting song about a video game maybe ever.
Could be. We'll have to.
It's off the top of my head. I could have just totally made that up. Nobody's fact checking me tonight.
And a second band that reached out to us to share some new music is called Monty. MONTE. They're kind of a power punk band from Brooklyn.
Sweet.
Kind of a blend of like some thrashy skate punk, metal, and pop with some really smart lyrics. Their new single, Popular 2, is out now. So check out Monty. Thanks for reaching out to us and sharing the new music. We love it. Be sure to follow us on the socials. We're on Instagram, YouTube, and now on TikTok.
And yes, leave messages. Hit us up. Again, we will be revisiting this topic of cover songs. So if you have suggestions that we may not be familiar with, please, yeah, let us know, man. We love, love, love learning about new cover songs, bands maybe we're not familiar with. Just
absolutely. We love people sharing music with us. So keep it coming.
All right. Well, I think that's going to wrap it up for us. This is the Greatest Mixtape Podcast. My name is Eric.
And my name is Mac.
And we'll be talking to you soon.
Thanks for listening.